Blackmuir goes into marriage and investigates the humor of the subject with the help of Alfred Marx.
A young bride married a handsome older man and was distressed to find out he'd been married three times before. But what happened to the other three, she asked. Well, said her husband, the first one died from eating poisoned mushrooms. How terrible. What about the second one? Yes, she died also from eating poisoned mushrooms. And the third one? Well, she died of a fractured skull. Well, that's ghastly, said the wife. Well, it was her own fault, wasn't it? She wouldn't eat the bloody mushrooms. At a rather posh wedding, all the presents were displayed, and in prominent position was a cheque for £5,000, a present from the bride's father. As the guests filed past the display, the bridegroom was annoyed to notice one man roaring with laughter at the cheque. "Who's that?" he asked. "Oh," his bride replied, "it's only Daddy's bank manager."
"Have you heard? Old Henry got married last week."
"Good. I never liked the fella." A newly wedded wife was paying her first visit to the butcher. "What can I do for you, madam?" he asked. "A pound of steak, please." "Yes, there you are. Anything else?" "Yes, could I have some gravy too, please?"
"All right, now, are you married?"
"No, I've always been round-shouldered."
Marriage, as we just proved, is one of the most abused institutions in the world. It seems that nobody's got a good word to say for it. Perhaps people who are happily married don't think about it, so comment on the subject is left to the disillusioned and cynical. Let's hear some of their depressing views. Here's George Jean Nathan.
"Marriage is based on the theory that when a man discovers a particular brand of beer exactly to his taste, he should at once throw up his job and go to work in the brewery."
Robert Louis Stevenson.
"Marriage is a sort of friendship recognized by the police."
Herbert Spencer.
"Marriage, the ceremony in which rings are put on the finger of a lady and through the nose of the gentleman."
And a beautiful image from J.B. Priestley.
"Marriage is like paying an endless visit in your worst clothes."
Considering the shower of vitriolic abuse that's been hurled at it since records began, it's amazing that marriage still survives at all. Perhaps the truth is expressed by Harry Emerson Fosbick.
"It is not marriage that fails, it's people that fail. All that marriage does is to show people up."
Well, in spite of everything, statistics show that marriage still thrives. Mind you, statistics can show anything. Here's an extract from the Albany Knickerbocker News.
"Before the war, 35% of working women were single. Now it's the other way round. 65% are married." A big change in women's lives.
Now, the motives for marriage vary. Love is still rated quite highly, though that suffers almost as much abuse as wedlock itself. And then there's the profit motive. Lord Chesterfield on the subject.
"Well, there are but two objects in marriage, love or money. If you marry for love, you will certainly have some very happy days and probably many very uneasy ones. If for money, you will have no happy days and probably no uneasy ones."
So you take your choice and your chance. As well as abusing the institution of marriage, many wits have pointed out the disillusioning difference between the before and after, between courtship and marriage. Lord Byron.
"Though women are angels, yet wedlock's the devil."
William Congreve.
"Courtship is to marriage as a very witty prologue to a very dull play."
The freedom of an affair is always praised above the regularity of marriage. One of the conditions of the courtly love, so keenly sought in medieval times, was that it was an extramarital love. But romance has its drawbacks too, as Oscar Wilde observed.
20 years of romance make a woman look like a ruin. But 20 years of marriage make her something like a public building.
Which, I suppose you can argue, is just preferable. The reasons that push people over the brink into matrimony vary considerably. A report from the old Daily Graphic.
A marriage at Merthyr. Magistrate to a woman who sought a maintenance order.
Do you love your husband?
No, I married him out of spite. I've been let down twice, see? I determined the next man who asked me about it.
And a letter from the old Daily Herald.
I fell in love with my husband simply because he was so different from every other boy I'd ever met. He did not like lovemaking, and neither do I. He's never actually told me he loves me. He never actually proposed. But we saw a three-piece suite we liked, and that clinched the idea.
Well, why not? There are still parts of the world where wives can be bought. But in England, the commercial nature of the contract isn't usually advertised. Forthcoming marriages are announced on the social page, not in the stock market report. Mind you, in these announcements and the accounts of weddings, newspapers don't always avoid the ridiculous. Alfred, forward with some examples.
The bride's father is proprietor of an old-fashioned meat business. The bride wore a gown of white satin, fashioned with short leg of mutton sleeves.
And another.
The bridesmaids' dresses were pretty combinations of blue and pink. The marriage of Miss Anna Block and Mr. Willis Dashwood, which was announced in this paper a few weeks ago, was a mistake, and we wish to correct it.
Well, mistake or not, marriages do happen, and a surprising number of them still happen in church.
Aye, aye, aye. Terrible. The guts is turning over something rotten. Have you got the flask?
Not in here. It's your fault. I've got no sympathy for you. Getting married, it's ridiculous. It won't work.
I don't start that again. It's too late. You've been trying to break it up for 3 months as it is. Melanie and I are getting married, but you locked it all nuts.
Yeah, I'll give it 6 months. A young girl like that. Marrying a... How old are you? You'll be 50 when she's 30. Oh, shut up.
Don't you ever give up. I've got to hand it to you, you know. Here we are in church, 5 minutes to go, and you're still rabbiting away. I should have thought asking you to be the best man would have shut you up. Have you got the ring?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Where is it?
Here it is, round me ankle.
Oh, take it out of that thing. That's got to go on her finger. Put it in your pocket and don't lose it.
Hasn't changed much, has it?
What has?
This place. I've been in here since I put your mother away.
Nice thing to say on my wedding day.
We're at the church in the parish, this is. It suits me. What a miserable place to get married in. I don't know why I even get married in a registry office. Save your money, all this posh, naughty, dark stuff.
I've been through all this before. Melanie wanted a white wedding.
White wedding, dear. That's starting off with a lie to begin with.
What do you mean by that? Look, Melanie and I are very much in love with each other, and there's nothing you can say or do is going to alter that. So you might as well just shut your cake hole and get used to it.
What's that old boot, Chris?
She's upset. Well, it's quite natural. It's her only daughter.
Don't let that fool you. She's tickled pink. She shot her at last. Take a good look at her, mate. Because that's what your bird's going to look like in 20 years.
Wilfred Bramble and Harry H. Corbett and Stepdaughter and Son. Once the marriage is over, the protagonists, or protagonist and antagonist, in some cases, immediately change status. They cease to be an engaged couple, and they suddenly become honeymooners or newlyweds, both popular fodder for jokers. Few honeymoon jokes are repeatable on radio, but I think Alfred can probably find one.
A couple arrive at the hotel for the first night of their honeymoon. They go up to the bedroom and the wife undresses and gets into bed.
All honeymoon jokes begin like this. a little bit worrying, but this is a recording.
But the husband doesn't go to bed. Instead, he sits looking out of the open window at the sky. After a while, the wife says, "Won't you come to bed, darling?" "Oh, no," says the husband. "Why not?" "Well, my father said this would be the best night of my life, and I don't want to miss a minute of it."
Newlywedded wives also suffer in jokes from allegations about their housekeeping abilities. Alfred.
"Darling, darling," said the newlywedded husband to his wife, I didn't say you were a bad cook. I just said that our dustbin had got ulcers." I'm sorry about the eggs, darling," said the young wife to her husband. They were frying beautifully, but then the shells cracked and they spread all over the pan." "Darling, darling," says the wife, "I made this cake all by myself." "Oh, yes," said the husband. "Who helped you lift it out of the oven?"
And so on. Well, food is significant in marriage. The way to a man's heart is supposed to be through his stomach, but a continuous cycle of meals can be a bit of a strain.
The glances over cocktails that seem to be so sweet don't seem quite so amorous over the shredded wheat.
That anonymous rhyme captures some of the disillusionment and cynicism common in marriage jokes. Simple abuse of the wife is a popular routine for music hall comedians. Woody Allen.
"I want to discuss my marriage. My marriage, or as it was known, the Oxbow incident. I had a rough marriage. Well, my wife was an immature woman, and that's all I can say. See, if this is not immature to you, I would be home in the bathroom taking a bath, and my wife would walk right in whenever she felt like and sink my boats." "It was partially my fault that we got divorced. I had a lousy attitude toward her. For the first year of marriage, I had a bad attitude. Basically a bad attitude. I guess I tended to place my wife underneath a pedestal. We used to argue and fight. We finally decided we'd either take a vacation in Bermuda or get a divorce. One of the two things. And we discussed it very maturely, and we decided on the divorce because we felt that we had a limited amount of money to spend. The vacation in Bermuda is over in 2 weeks, but a divorce is something that you always have. And I saw myself free again, living in the village, in a bachelor apartment with a wood-burning fireplace and a shaggy rug, and on the wall some of those great Picassos by Van Gogh, and just great swinging airline hostesses running amok in the apartment, And I got very excited, and I ran into my wife. She was in the next room at the time, listening to Connell Rad on the radio. I laid it right on the line with her. I came right to the point. I said, Quasimodo, I want a divorce. She said, great, get the divorce. But it turns out, in New York State, they have a strange law that says you can't get a divorce unless you can prove adultery. And that is weird, because the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not commit adultery. But New York State says you have to. Well, it's like a toss-up between God and Rockefeller. I figured one of us has got to commit adultery to get the divorce. I volunteered.
Woody Allen. In spite of all... Yes. But in spite of all this anti-marriage propaganda and humour, the institution itself stands up very well. And some couples stay sentimental and soppy about each other all their lives, continually giving tokens of their affection. Here's a letter from today.
My husband is a shy man, and whenever he brings flowers home to me, he always conceals them under his bowler hat. As a result, they have to be little flowers like violets or anemones and tend to smell of brilliantine. Surely there must be some other way in which self-conscious men cope with this problem.
Marriage has celebrations marking its chapters, wedding anniversaries, which often seem only to exist to be forgotten in comedy shows. And then there are the special anniversaries when the whole family celebrates, like the silver wedding.
Happy anniversary to you.
Thank you. I'm glad someone remembered.
Hey, remember what?
It's our silver wedding.
Well, is it? Well, nobody told me, did I?
You shouldn't have to be told.
Look, you don't expect me to go around remembering every odd little social occasion what happens, do you? Well, I've got other things on my mind, I have. Get off of me.
Yes, I suppose you have. Oh, yeah, what with boozing and playing darts up the pub with all your cronies, I suppose it's too much to expect you to remember a little thing like my silver wedding.
No, I would have remembered it if I'd have thought of it. I didn't know it was coming round so soon, did I?
You don't even know what it means, do you?
What?
Silver wedding.
Of course I know what it means. It means we've been, like, married for a while.
25 years. Today's the anniversary of my wedding day, 25 years ago. That's what it means.
Yeah, well, congratulations.
Congratulations!
Oh, no, Ma, look, I don't think he meant it that way.
Well, it's got nothing to do with you.
No, what I'm trying to say, Dad, is I don't think you should put it quite...
I know how to say things, don't I?
Married to that Pete for 25 years. Nothing. Nothing, not even a card.
All right, I'll go out and buy your card if that's what you want.
I don't want your cards. You can stick your cards.
Oh,
yeah. I never ought to have married you out, Garnet. I should have listened to my mother. She was right. I know now you're nothing but an ill-mannered drunken pig.
Oh, shut up, Miss Edelman. You give me a headache.
What's this, then? Open it and see. Oh. Well, who's that from, then?
Wasn't there a card in there, Ma?
Right?
A card.
Oh, yeah. Read it, then. To my darling wife, the treasure of my life, now and kisses, your sweetheart, Alf. Oh. And all those things I said and you did remember.
Yeah, well, it's all right. It's all
hey,
right.
That's all up, huh? Hey?
Yeah.
Righty, Dad, that must have set you back a few bob, hasn't it?
Nothing much,
isn't it?
It's lovely. Is that a real pearl, do you think?
Oh, no, I shouldn't think so.
The Garnet family from Gilda. The Garnet family is probably quite a good argument that the most important quality in any marriage is tolerance. Not total calm, but a workable antagonism. You know, arguments are necessary. Here's A.P. Herbert.
The idea of two people living together for 25 years without an argument suggests a lack of spirit only to be admired in sheep.
Sometimes marriage requires one partner to give way, as Vicky Baum observes cynically.
Marriage always demands the greatest understanding of the art of insincerity possible between two human beings.
But tolerance need not be insincerity. Sometimes it's just a case of accepting one's partner's little idiosyncrasies, such as this letter from Good Shopping.
When my husband reads in bed on warm nights, he puts a colander over his head. He says it keeps off the flies, shades his eyes from the light, and lets in the air at the same time.
I think that's a terribly good idea. Accept little things like that and you're on the way to success in marriage. Ready for the give and take that's part of the institution.
Oh, I'd love to be alone in the country.
John?
Yes?
I'm with you.
I'd love to be alone in the country.
But, John, you brought me with you.
I didn't. You hid in the back.
But you must have noticed.
Not at all. It's a very large tandem.
But... Oh, when we fell off going down the stairs. You must have seen me.
I thought you were a hitchhiker.
But I'm your wife. You must have recognized me.
I didn't, Mary.
Why not?
Well, because you were disguised as a cactus.
Oh, John. John. Talk to me. Say something to me. Say you hate me. Say I'm ugly.
Which?
Say I'm ugly. You're only saying that. You don't really mean it. You don't care. You never think about me. Up and down all night, warming the milk, smashing the rusks, all the crying and the bedwetting.
Yes, I know.
I wouldn't mind if we had a baby.
I'm sorry, but I prefer vices.
John, why don't you admit it? You don't love me anymore.
All right, I admit it.
John, once we had something that was pure and wonderful and good. What's happened to it?
You spent it all.
That's all that matters to you, isn't it? Money. I despise you. Do you hear me? I hate you. I don't know how I've been able to stand it. I suppose it's because I love you. I don't know. I do love you, John. I love you more than I can say. I need you, John. Please, John, don't look at photographs of nude women while I'm talking to you.
Oh, all right, but... I know you know.
You know?
Yes.
Oh, God. John.
Yes?
What do you know?
Well, I could be wrong.
You mean about me and Nigel?
Oh, I was wrong. I thought it was Rupert.
You're right, it is Rupert. I can never remember names.
Anyway, I do know about last Friday.
Last Friday?
Yes. He was in my bed, wasn't he?
How did you know?
He kept pushing me out.
You mean you were there too?
You didn't even notice. Oh, God.
John Cleese and Joe Kendall. I'm sorry, I'll read that again. That came on. Well, that's just about it for marriage. We'll finish with a famous old word of wisdom from the pages of Punch, Volume 8, I think 1847. Mr. Punch's advice to young men about to be married. Don't. Well, next week we'll be looking into the humour connected with the family. Until then, from Alfred Marks and me, goodbye.
Bye.
Frank Newer Goes Into Marriage was produced by Simon Brett and Bob Oliver Rogers.